Today's daf is daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We begin on the fifth line. We learned in the Mishnah, Hayu Lefanav Minim Harbe. If somebody had in front of him a number of different types of food, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Yesh Behem Min Shiva, Alav Hu Mevarech, if amongst those seven fruit, amongst the foods, is one of the seven Minim that I mentioned in the Pasuk that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, that's the food to make the bracha on first. The Chum say we make a bracha on, he makes a bracha on whichever one he wants. Begins the Gemara. Amu Ula. So Ula says, Machlaikis b'shvichasein Shabbos. When is there a machlaik between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan? Only when the brachas for both of the foods in front of him are the same. And now the question is, on which of them should he make the bracha? Rabbi Yehuda sava min shiva adif. Rabbi Yehuda holds he should make a bracha on one of the min shiva, one of the minim that at the soul was breast. So, for example, somebody has in front of him an olive, an apple. Given that zayis is one of the foods that Yisrael is blessed with, and apples aren't, according to Yehuda, and they both are a bari priyates. So Yehuda says, you'd make the bari priyates on the olive. Rabbanan sabri and Rabbanan hold, min chaviv adav, the one that he prefers, takes precedence. There's a machloikus rishonim, a very fundamental machloikus rishonim as we start min chaviv. What does min chaviv mean? The Rosh says, min chav means the min that he generally prefers. Even if now he prefers another min, we go what he generally prefers. And the Rambam holds that we look at what he prefers now. Most Paiskim agree with the Rambam. Avish ein b'chaseim shavus, but in a place where the two foods that are in front of him don't have the same bracha. For example, one is ha'eitz and one is hadama. The v'hakol mevarach hazeh v'chayz mevarach hazeh. Then there's no din a precedence. You make a bracha on whichever one you want first. And Rashi here makes a very important observation. Even though we learned that if somebody made a bari pri hadoma on a food that has to have a bari pri eitz, you yoitza, because the eitz also comes out of the hadoma, says Rashi, that is only in the evidence situation, where a person made a bari pri hadoma accidentally on something that he should have made a bari pri eitz, so the halacha is he was yoitza bracha, and doesn't have to say the bracha again. But of course, one should not rely on that lechatchila, and he should make a separate bracha on the bari pri adam and the bari pri eitz. They say, ask the Gemara question, how you lefon of if somebody had in front of him tznoim v'zayis, a radish and an olive, mevarach tznoim, he makes a bracha on the radish, or paitas v'zayis, and doesn't have to make a bracha on the olive. Now, what do we see here? That although the bracha of the radish and the olive are not the same, the radish is a bari pri adoma, and the zayis is bari pri eitz, still the brice is paskening that we should make a bracha on the adoma, and the bracha hadoma will be yoytzedeitz. And the question is particularly difficult after what we just said, that Rashi explains you don't do that lechatchila. Lechatchila you don't rely on hadoma for eitz. Answer the Gemara, Hachav Ma'iskinen, what is the situation here? Kshitstoin Eker. Really, the person wants to eat just a radish. And the olive is really just a tuffel, it's subordinate, it's only being eaten to blunt the sharpness of the radish. That's why the bracha on the tznoin, the bracha on the radish, covers the olive. However, in a case where the radish is not tuffel to the with a case where the radish is not tuffled to the olive, then we have to make two separate brachas, and ostensibly there's no specific order which one should be said first. Bihachi asked the Gemara, Eima Seifa. Let's look at the end of that brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevarach al Zayis, one should make a bracha on the Zayis, says Zayis min Shiva. Because the Zayis is one of the Zayin Minim that the soul is blessed with. Now, ask the Gemara. If we just finished explaining that Brisa is discussing a case of Ikkar and Tafel, and that the radish is just a Tafel, that the olive is just a Tafel to the radish, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree? Let's say Rabbi Yehuda Tanan, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with what we learned? Koshu Ikkar, whatever we have a main thing, Vimit Phelan, with it comes something which is just subordinate to it. The halach is Mevarchal Ikkar Paitas at Phelan. One makes a bracha on the primary food, and he passes the subordinate food. So how come Rabbi Yehuda is telling us to make a bracha both on the Zayis also? And maybe you're going to say that Tak Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with the halacha of Tafel and Ikkar. For Tanya, there's a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the machmas tznoyim ba'azayis, if the olive only came because of the radish. That means to blunt the sharpness of the radish is halacha mevarach al tznoyim for paitras azayis. One makes a bracha on the radish and he passes the olive. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to the rule. So how are we saying that the brisa in the reisha in the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda is talking with a case is olive subordinate to the radish? Answers the Gemara: Laila b'tznoyim ikraskinen. The beginning of the brisa is talking that the main part is the radish and the olive is only there as a tafel. As we said before, the chipli Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon, and now when we have at the sefer a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon, the milsa achrita pligi, they're arguing in an entirely other subject, the chsuri mechsra vachitani, and we have to, so to say, that speak say words are missing from the brisa and add the following words: hoy lefonof. If there were before him a radish and an olive, is alocha mevarech al tznoyim or paitras azayis? He makes a bracha on the tznoyim and he passes the zayis because the zayis is a tafel to the tznoyim. The madvar mamurim, as we just said, kishet tznoyim ikkar, because the tznoyim is ikkar, its bracha makes you potter from the tafel. In a case where its nine is not ikkar, is the halacha divrei hakam mevarach al zeh, the chayz mevarach al zeh. Then everybody will agree that he makes a bracha on one, and then he makes another bracha on the other one. Mishnei mina ba'alma. And in a case where we have two species in general whose bracha are the same, shibuchaseim shavus, is halacha the Tanna Kamma holds like the Rabbanan Mishnah, mevarach alezem mishiyirtza. He makes the bracha on whichever one he prefers. Ludoima mevarach alezayis. He makes a bracha on the zayis. Why? Shezayis v'min shiva, and Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasei that you always go with the min shiva. Continues the Gemara. Pligi by Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafka. There's machloikis Rav Yami Rav Yitzchak Nafka. How to explain the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan? Chenom a machloikis b'shev b'chasein shavus. One says that the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is only when the bracha both of the foods in front of him are the same. Rabbi Yehuda shav min shiva adif. Rabbi Yehuda says that the min shiva is takes precedence of everything else. Rabbanan savri min chavav adif. And Rabbanan holds that the species favor him takes precedence. But where the brachas are not the same, he makes a bracha on one and the other. And that's the way we began the shiur today, as Ula's understanding of the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. And there are other mandarim say that the machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is even where the brachas are not the same. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam l'mandam b'shev b'chasein shavus machloikis. It's understood according to the mandam that says that the machloikis is when the brachas are the same. Shapir. Everything is well understood. El mandam b'shev b'chasein shavus pligi. But according to the mandam that says that they argue even when the brachas are not the same, is the question of my pligi. What is the machloikis about? Rabbi Yirmiyah says lahagdim. The machloikis is which bracha goes first. In other words, that Rabbi Yirmiyah is adding another factor to the machloikis. That means we have brachas that are not the same. We have foods that are not the same, And the shaila here is, which bracha should he make first? Which bracha should he make first? Dama Rabbi Yosef, Tam Rabbi Yitzchok, Kala Mugdim Pasuk Zeh. Whatever is mentioned first in this pasuk that we're now going to say is the first to make a bracha. Shenema Eretz Chita. It's a land. This is the pasuk that speaks about the Shivas Aminim, and it says Eretz Yisrael is a land that's blessed with Chita wheat, Soira barley, Geffen wine, Taena is dates, figs. I mean, Riman is pomegranates. Eretz Zayis is a land of olives. Shemen is Eretz Zayis Shemen, olive oil. Udvash, date honey. Says the Gemara, this understanding of the pasuk, Pligid Rav Chanan, is in disagreement with what Rav Chanan said. Dar Rav Chanan, Rav Chanan says, Kala pasuk kuloi, this entire pasuk l'shiurim nema was only set for teaching us the halachas of shiurim, which what is the measure for various law with other things. Now, since let's go back to Rabbi Yosef for a minute. Since Rabbi Yosef says that this pasuk was taught about precedence, and not everything in this pasuk has the same bracha. There are things in this pasuk that have a bari pre-eitz, and there are things in this pasuk that have a bari pre-hadama. So obviously he holds that this pasuk is teaching us halacha in kedima and bracha. However, Rav Chanan, who says that the pasuk is praising Eretz Yisrael, that it's the land that produces fruits and vegetables that serve as measures to various Torah laws. So since that's the purpose of the pasuk, the order in which the various species mentioned in the pasuk are therefore are not indicative of their significance. It's just that's there because it has to have all these halachas. The pasuk is not talking anything about kedima and bracha. And now the Gemara is going to explain what each thing mentioned in the pasuk teaches us as far as hilchos brachos. Chita, the first species mentioned in the pasuk is wheat. What is it mentioned for? The Tanan. It teaches the following in the Mishnah. The halach is that a person could become a tzairah, a person could get the affliction of tzaraas, and a house could become a tzaraas. If a house becomes tameh, it conveys tumah to people or objects within it. However, the Torah differentiates between a lesser madrega of tumah that's contracted by somebody who just briefly enters the house that has tzaraas in it, and somebody who stays there for longer. Somebody goes into the house briefly only becomes personally tameh, but the gadim, the garments that he's wearing, do not become tameh. However, somebody who lingers in the house, not only does he become tamei, but even the garments that he's wearing are tamei. Therefore, we have a Mishnah that teaches us: Hanichnas l'bayis menugah, somebody comes into a house that's afflicted with tzaraas, the tail of a kseifaf, and his garments are being carried on his shoulders. He's not wearing his begadim, the sandalov in his shoes, the taboisov in his rings, the yodav he's carrying them. He's not wearing, so they don't be they're not considered like begadim, because the begadim are only considered begadim when you're wearing them. Here he's not wearing them, and therefore the halach is hu behein tamei miyad. He becomes immediately tamei. However, how you lovish kalim, if he was wearing his begadim, the sandal b'ragav and his shoes are on his feet, the tabois the vetzpois of his rings are on his fingers, is the halach hu tamei miyad. He's immediately tamei behein tairim, and they remain tairim unless he remains in the house b'chdei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf. Paschitin, wheat bread, like pasayim, not barley bread. And the first one explained because wheat bread is easier to eat, so goes quicker. Masiv, when he's eating in a reclined position, again, when he's eating in a reclined position, he's concentrating on the eating, and since he's concentrating on the eating, he eats quicker. Vaychav left him, and simply, also when he's eating with relish, so he eats with relish, he also goes quicker. So the purpose of the word chita in this pasuk is to teach us the halacha of the tumah of becoming tamei going into bais menuga. Soira, why is barley mentioned in the pasuk? The tanan, etzem soira, a human bone fragment the size of a barley kernel, the tamba v'magav masa. It brings tumah to a person who's carrying it or being who touches or carries it. But it doesn't bring tumah being under the same roof of a person. For that you have to have a larger shear. You have to have a quarter kav of bones that come from majority of the corpse's bones. But it doesn't have tumas oil. Gefen. The next thing that's mentioned in the pasuk is gefen. Why? Today reveals Shaim al-Nazir. We know a Nazir is a person who's taken upon himself the oath of Naziris, which prohibits him from eating or drinking grape products. Now, how much grape product does he have to eat to be Asr? So the halach is that he has to eat the amount that displaces a revius of wine. Now, what does displacement mean? We have a cup and we fill it up with liquid. We keep revius as a shear in a liquid. We keep on putting in grape product into that cup until a revius of liquid of wine goes out. Now, it matters what type of liquid is in the cup to accomplish displacement. Water is, so to speak, the thinnest liquid and is displaced the most quickly. Then there are other liquids that are not displaced as quickly. And that would have an impact of how much food has to be eaten. So the Gemara is saying that when we want to figure how much grape product is also to another, it has to displace the liquid of wine, not a different liquid. Taina, the next thing that was mentioned in the pasuk of figs. Why? The size of a dried fig is the minimum amount of food for which one is liable for carrying out on Shabbos from one rishos to another rishos. Remind, what is the pomegranate mentioned for Ketnam? As we learned in the Mishnah in the Sechta Kalim. Kol Kli Kal Balabatim, or the Kalim of a person in his house, a private individual, Shurim Kirmanim. That means, if a Kali, the utensil became Tamei, becomes broken, unsuitable for use, it loses its status in terms of Tumah. Now, a private person generally doesn't throw out his kalim that quickly. So, as Tosfos says on the bottom of Amud Aleph, if his wooden kali developed a hole through which beans will pass, he's not going to throw out the kali. He'll save it to hold olives, which are larger than beans. If the hole is large enough to allow olives to pass through, he'll save the container to hold walnuts. If the hole is large enough to allow walnuts, he'll save it to hold pomegranates. However, once the hole is so big that even pomegranates will pass through, then the container is considered useless and it's no longer tummy. Rashi points out that this measurement is only referring to a private person's keli that he has in his house. However, a manufacturer who produces utensils for sale, nobody's going to buy a keli that is broken, even with any hole in it, and therefore there any size hole will be coming. Then we continue, Eretz Zayi Shemen. What does it say, Zayi Shemen? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shurez Kazesim. A land that all its shurim are kazayas, which we know from throughout Shas and Shulchan Aruch that the normal shear in everything in the Torah is a kazayas. Ask the Gemara, Kol Shurim Sokadayta, because everything is kazayas. What didn't we just learn a number of items that the shear is not kazayas? Vika Hanach Damoran, those that we just learned. El Eretz, what you have to mean is Shurim Shurim Kazayasim. Most of the shurim are kazayasim. Tavash, we said date honey regarding what? Kikasevis Agasim Yom Kippurim. The minimum amount of food one is liable to eat on Yom Kippur is the size of a large date. And like the Gemara Masech B'Yuma explains, even though normally the Shir Achila is a Kazayas, here the Shir Achila is a Kisevis because Yom Kippur it says Tanus Nashusechim, when a person is in pain. And eating, how much eating would you be chai for the amount of eating that you would not be in pain? How much eating is that? The size of a kesevis. Vidach. Now, according to Rav Yosef, who disagrees with Rav Chanan, what will he say? Hani shir behedim iksivi. Are these measures mentioned explicitly in the pasuk? Certainly they're not mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. El medrabanim. All the shurim are only Midrabanan, the Kra, Smacht of Alman, this pasuk that we're bringing is just an Smacht, it's just a pasuk that's bringing as some sort of a raya, but not that the pasuk is coming to teach us that. Now, most Mefarshim quote the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah and Masechta Ervin that doesn't say the Midrabanan, that the Shir is Midrabanan. The Shir is Midaraisa, the Shir is Midaraisa, but they're not based on this pasuk, rather the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Now, the Halach L'Moshe, before we go further, when one has a number of different fruits in front of him, what should they do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what he should do is min shiva adif. He should preferably make a bracha on one of the Zayin Minim. And that halacha is, even if the one that's one of Zayin Minim is a half a fruit, and generally in halacha we require that you should make a bracha on a whole fruit, here, since it's min Zayin, it goes first. Now, if both foods that are in front of you are not from min shiva, or both of them from min shiva from one type, the halacha is you make the bracha on the whole one, even if the other one you prefer. However, if both are shleimim or both are not shleimim, that's when you make the chava first. And we paskin that we like the Rosh that. The Mishnah Berurah says you should go like the Rosh, that we go with what's usually chavav to you, even though now you want a different min. Like the Rambam is saying, like I said before. Now, that's when the brachas are the same. When the brachas are not the same, so the halach is, and Tosfos mentions this on Mem Aleph and Aleph in the first Tosfos, you always should make the bracha which is Mevareres Yosef. What does Mevareres Yosef mean? A very important concept in Hilchos Brachos. The bracha that is clearer to you. That means, if for example, you have a Berachas HaMotzi, besides the bread always comes first, Berachas HaMotzi is considered the most Mevor because it's the most explicit, because it only speaks about one type of food. Bari Mina Mezonis is second. Bari Priyagothin is third, and then you have Bari Priya Eitz and Bari Priya Dama, which come before Shahakal. However, and Bari Priya Eitz and Bari Priya Dama, that's, we pass them like this. If one of them is always preferable to him, and now also that's the min he prefers, that's the bracha you make on. If both are equally chashuv to him, you make a bracha on the min zayin. And now, if we're going to talk about one more halacha, which is the next gemara, if hagdama and pasuk making a bracha between the min zayin, if all of them are the same to you, which of the min zayin go first is the next piece of gemara we're going to learn. Obviously, all these halakhas that we're learning about which one goes first and which one goes second, that's only when he wants to eat from both of them. But if he doesn't want to eat both of them, he doesn't have to eat from the one he doesn't want to eat just because he wants to make a bracha. Their halakha is that he makes the bracha only on the one that he wants to eat. And even if he wants to eat both, but let's say one of them is already in front of him on the table, and he knows that they're going to bring the other min later, but right now it's not here, he only makes the bracha on the one that's in front of him now. He doesn't have to wait till they bring the other min to the table. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chisda Rav Hamnuna Av Yashu V'Sudasa. Rav Chisda Rav Huna was sitting in a meal. Ais L'Kamei Tamar Rimoni. They brought in front of him dates and pomegranates. Shokol Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna went. Derech HaTamri Bereisha. And he made a bracha on the dates first. Amalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said to him, Lo'isavlei Ma L'Hod Amar Rav Yosef Yitayim Rav Yitzchok. Don't you agree with what Rav Yosef, some say Rav Yitzchok said, the call on Mugnum Pasuk Zer. Whatever is mentioned first in the pasuk, that's the first one that should be said. And the way we're learning, even if we hold that chaviv comes first, still, let's say this person has no preference, so there everybody agrees that we follow the Zayin Minim. And in the Zayin Minim, we follow the name that goes first in the pasuk. So he says the pasuk you don't follow straight in the order of what's listed in the pasuk. I take a hold that we follow the order of the pasuk, but the date is the second fruit mentioned after the word land, the second time that Eretz is mentioned, while the pomegranate is the fruit, the fifth mentioned after the first time land. Therefore, dates take precedence over pomegranates. Amalei, man yavlon nagri the pasul, who would give us feet made out of iron that would never get tired? But neshamiach, we could service you, we could always be around you, because that's the most, because we can learn so much by observing you. So first of all, we have to say, as Tosfos says, the first Tosfos in this Amid, that obviously these fruits that were brought in the meal were not brought in order to lelavspen as a pass, to as part of the main part of the meal. Because anything that's part of the meal, the berachos hamotzi that we make at the beginning of the meal, patters all those berachos, as we learn soon in the Gemara. So here it was brought not as the main part of the meal. Now that we learned this shir, that this halacha, that we take two considerations. One consideration is we go over what's first in the pasuk, but also we look at what's closer to the word aretz. So the proper order is wheat, because it's the first. But there's one more concept Tosfos adds, that when you have the aretz twice in the pasuk, what's first after the first aretz goes before what's first after the second aretz. So therefore, the first one, the first min is chita, because it's the first after the first aretz. Zeisim are second, because it's the first after the second. Sa'ir is third, because it's the second after the first aretz. Ta'ena is fourth, because it's the second, dates are the fourth after the second land. Then we have grapes, and figs, and pomegranates. And the Mefarshim will say that that's why the Torah specifically said the word Aretz twice. It was very rare. The Pasuk said the word Aretz at the beginning of the Pasuk. Ought that not be enough? That's specifically what the Torah said, the word Aretz twice in this Pasuk, to teach us this halacha, that the order is not straight in the order of the Pasuk, but we have to make these cheshbonos. Itma. So Gemara discusses the halacha of foods and fruits that are eaten during the meal. Havil afanav, havil afneim, tainim, betaychasuda. If they brought figs or grapes during the meal, what is the halacha? Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said, turn the bracha afneim. A bracha should be made before eating them. They turn the bracha afneim, but a bracha does not need to be made afterwards. Why? Since these fruits were not being eaten as a condiment for the bread, nor as a main source of sustenance in the meal, which in such cases, as we said before, they would become subordinate to the bread, they would not require a separate bracha at all. Since they were being eaten independently during the meal, so just to eat something sweet, that's why they have to have a bracha. So Rav Huna is saying that they have to have a bracha rishona, but they do not have to have a separate bracha achrona, because the bracha mazon, which is going to be said at the end of the meal, works for everything eaten during the meal, even foods not subordinate to the bread. V'chein amar Nachman, tuna bracha lefneihem, then tuna bracha lachreihem. Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes disagrees. Tuna bracha bein lefnei bein lachreim. Do you have to make a bracha before, both before and after eating them? Shein lecha davish tam bracha lefanov, bein tana bracha lachav. There's nothing that requires a bracha before that does not require a bracha afterward. El pasabal b'kisna levad. Other than bread that comes with kisna alone. That there, you make a bracha rishayna and not a bracha achroina. Now, there's a big machlokes rishonim, how to explain pas habava kisnin. Rashi says kisnin means toasted bread, grain. And after the finishing the meal and saying birchas hamazon, it was customary to eat toasted grain, and this would be served with pastries kneaded with spices, walnuts, and almonds, and some of the pastry would be eaten as well. Now, a bezoinus has to be cited before eating this because it has in it the grains. But since they contain a lot of spices and nuts, the bracha of alamechia is not said. So they're like, and therefore they become like rice that one says a mezonos before and nothing afterwards, as we spoke about on that Lamed Zayin. Tosis disagrees with Rashi, and Tosis says that Alamichya in such a situation would have to be said. So and therefore Tosis explains that we're talking about kisnim bread that's eaten before Birchas Hamazon, and it still requires a bracha rishona, but not a bracha achrona. But Tosis says that kisnim bread that would be eaten after Birchas Hamazon would require a bracha rishona and Alamichya. Others say Rabbeinu Chananu, brought down Rabbeinu Yonah, says that kisnin is from the language of dough, of packets. Dough was kneaded in the form of packets. They were filled with almonds, honey, and other sweets, and then baked. And that's what he says that's the power of kisnin is. And again, we would have on that the same achlok fashion cases. And this is in disagreement. What we just learned is in disagreement on Rav Chiya, that we just learned that fruit eaten in the middle of the meal, you don't have to make a separate bracha. Disagrees with Rav Chiya said. And Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya said, "Pas pedes komin emachel." Bread discharges of all types of food, and the yain part of komin emashkin. And he holds that wine, that somebody makes a bracha on wine, he doesn't have to make a bracha on any type of beverage. Amra Papa. And Rav Papa said, "Hilchos of Daloch is Dvarim Habayim Matnas Asuda B'Tarkas Suda. Foods that come as a result of the meal, during the meal, ain't kind of brucha. They don't have to have a brucha. Loilach name, loilach claim. The brucha amoysi that we make at the beginning of the meal covers them entirely. However, the Shloim Matnas Asuda B'Tarkas Suda, something, foods that do not come as a result of the meal, but do come during the meal, the halach is tuna bracha lefneyem, then tuna bracha lechreyem. They have to have a bracha rishona, they don't have to have a bracha achrona. Lachas suda, and those foods that come after the meal, tuna bracha ben lefneyem lechreyem, they have to make a separate bracha before and after eating them." And that is the halacha, as we just said, and we'll talk about it more. Now, Rav Chiya says, we'll talk about a few halachas. One halacha we'll talk about is a very common question, and that is, we just said that Dvarim Shabam Shloy Machim Sasuda B'Tarcha Suda Tuna Bracha Lefneyem Ve'in Tuna Bracha Lachreyem. So the question is, if somebody eats compote, a fruit, at the end of the meal, what is the bracha? The Mishnah Berurah says that you have to make a bracha on the kapot, since the only reason it's eaten is just to help wash down the food. So he says it has to make your own bracha. It's interesting that there are people that say that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim himself, this, the Tshuva Sanhagas from Moshe Sternberg brings this down, that the Mishnah Berurah later on in his life retracted this, and he said that, and he did not make a bracha on kapot during the meal. The Brisk Rav used to eat bread along with the compote, and since he ate the bread with the compote, so the compote was considered a tofel to the bread, and therefore he did not make a bracha on the compote. It's an interesting psak, because if somebody wants to rely on that, he would have to eat bread with all of the compote. Just eating a little bread at the beginning and the end of eating the compote would not suffice, most places can say. The Tshuva Sanhagas, as I mentioned, mentions another halacha, another mahalach. He says, we have to look, is compote normally part of the meal, or is compote not normally part of the meal? And he explains like this. On Shabbos or Yontif, or by a wedding, where the compote is generally a course in the meal, and it becomes part of the meal, you don't have to make a bracha. However, during the week, where if a person normally does not eat compote, the compote does not become part of the meal, and somebody would have to make a bracha then on the compote. We spoke about that if somebody makes a bracha on wine, it exempts from reciting bracha on other beverages. Rabbeinu Yonah says that this refers both to the bracha Rishonah and to the bracha achrona. So for example, if somebody would drink juice or soda after wine, before a bracha was recited in the wine, he would not have to say a shahako before drinking the soda or the juice, and he would not have to say a bracha nefashis afterward. Now, the Prima Gadim says even further. Let's say somebody was going to drink a juice that requires a bari priates as a bracha rishona, and our eighth style priates as part of the main gimel bracha as a bracha achrona. The Rosh says, for example, fig juice retains the bracha of figs, and therefore requires the bracha bari priates and the bracha achrona of eights. The same halacha would apply that he would not make a bracha, and the bar prayer gefen would pass to the bracha rishona, and the bracha of al gefen would pray a gefen would say we exempt him from reciting al eitz for Paris. Now the Mordechai says that this that we said the wine exempts other beverages is only if they are on the table and his presence when he makes the bracha on the wine. Mordechai Benet says on that Mordechai that even if the beverages were not on the table, however, he had the intention to drink them when reciting the bracha and the wine, it's enough, and he doesn't have to make a bracha on those beverages. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees, and he says that beverages that were brought on the table afterwards not only require a separate bracha rishona, but will also require a separate bracha achrona, even though he did not make a bracha achrona on the wine yet. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that the al gefen that will be set on the wine covers all beverages, even those that had their own bracha rishona. Now, that's as far as yayin. This question could come up when somebody is making kiddush and he was might see other people with the kiddush and they did not make their own bracha. So the shaila is the bari priya gofen that the mekadesh made enough that they don't have to make a bracha if they want to drink other beverages or not? So the halacha is that they should not make their own bracha. The best thing is they should try to find somebody who did not make a bracha on that wine or did not drink from that wine and ask him that have them in mind with the shahakal. Otherwise they should not make their own bracha, even though that they didn't make the bari priya gofen, that they relied on somebody else's bari priya gofen. Continues the Gemara. Shalos ben Zaymai. Let's just talk one more halacha. We said that past keteres kamin imachal, that if somebody ate bread, he doesn't have to make any other bracha. There's an interesting shaila in the Paiskim. If somebody just ate a little bread, the person is not eating a lot of bread, and his whole purpose of eating the bread is just that he should not have to make a bracha on the other foods. Do we still say that the bread patters the other foods? The Magen Avraham says, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav agrees with the Magen Avraham, that then the bread does not take away the chiyuv to make a bracha on the other foods, because the bread is not that chashuv under that such a case. And others, Paskin, the Mishnah Berurah, says that even in such cases, since he's eating bread, it patters. However, everybody agrees on Shabbos and Yontif, when one is obligated to eat bread, even if he ate a little bread, truthfully on Shabbos and Yontif, somebody should be careful to eat a kezayis bread. But if he even ate less than a kezayis, there the bread will patter all the other macholim, because Shabbos and Yontif, everything is certainly tussled to the bread because you have to eat bread. What about by wine? That means we just finished explaining that if somebody drinks wine, he doesn't have to make a bracha rishona, doesn't have to make a bracha achrona. By wine, everybody agrees that even if he drank just a little wine, and the other wines were mashed in front of him, then he doesn't have to make a bracha. The halacha says he should try to drink at least a melei lugmav with a cheekful of wine. Continues the Gemara. Shalas ben Zayma. They asked ben Zayma, "Rav Neima Amru, what did they say? Things that are eaten during the meal, as a result of the meal, in a turn of bracha loyalist name of loyalist chrayim. They don't have to have their own bracha, not the bracha rishonah, not the bracha achrayna." Amalem, so he said, the answer is very simple. Just as we explained, Hoyle passed the trussum, because the blessing recited on the mitzi takes away the obligation of all the other things. So he asked, "Ihochi, if so, yayin nafin yisrei pras." So then the blessing recited on the amotzi should also discharge the chiv for wine. Yet we know that if somebody drinks wine during the meal, he has to make its own bracha. Why don't we say that the amotzi covers it? Answers the Gemara. So the Shana Ben Zama replied, "Yayin is different. The going bracha atzmai, where wine has its own." Makes its own bracha, Baripriya Gafin, it's the only beverage that has its own bracha. And there are many times where bracha is made in wine, even though somebody's not particularly interested in drinking wine, that's the way Rashi explains, like in case of Kiddush, Havdalah, by wedding. So therefore, Chazal will misakin that wherever wine is drunk, even if it's not meant as a beverage, you have to make a bracha. Similarly with wine that's drunk during the meal, even though the blessing on the mitzi should cover the chi of bracha, it does not cover wine, and the wine requires its own bracha. There is a shaila in the achronim. How to learn pshat? One more shaila that we will talk about that we mentioned before, and that is we spoke about eating kompot and what should be done. There's another shaila in the poskim. What about if you eat ice cream or ices at the end of the meal? Do you make a shahak or not? Digris Moshe paskins, the Moshe Feinstein paskins, that you don't make a shahako. Because it has a halacha like just drinking a liquid, and of course if you're drinking soda or juice during the meal, you wouldn't make a bracha. Similarly, you would not make a bracha on the ices. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagrees in the Sefer Saint Bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's psak is brought down, and there he says that you have to make a shahako, and he would say even if you made a Brayer Priya Goffin during that meal, which we just said that if somebody makes a Brayer Priya Goffin, that patters all mashkin. Here it wouldn't patter the ices, because the ices are not being drunk as a liquid, they're being eaten as a food. And when do we say that wine patters other beverages? It's when they're being drunk as a beverage, not when they're being eaten as a food. And